I say, what was all that commotion, old boy?
I just clubbed someone on the head.
Anyone I know?
The Madonna Vampira.
Really now?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, well. You may as well let her sleep. Good night.
But...
As night melts into morning, we find the two adventurers up early, eating breakfast and discussing their plans.
More tea?
No. Say, we don't have any coffee, do we?
Coffee? You American chappies always have to have your cup of coffee. No, we have no coffee. Now, according to the map, we're about here. In this raw mountain range.
The land of the stone-faced gods.
Right you are. Now, beyond these mountains is our destination.
Well, why is it blank?
It hasn't been charted. The Earth has been quite thoroughly explored and charted, but few have ever begun to map these regions of inner space.
Oh, I see. Well, what does this mark here signify?
At this point, we'll attempt to cross. That's strange. By Jove, this mark is a bit sticky, isn't it? I believe it... Marmalade. Peach, orange, and marmalade.
It must have dropped from your crumpet there.
Right. Well, that looks like as good a place as any to begin. Shall we proceed?
What about the Madonna Vampira?
She's gone, isn't she?
What? Well, she is gone.
Yes, of course.
But where?
Come now, step lively. We have to find a passage through these mountains before the sundown.
The two set off, making their way slowly up the side of the mountain. It seems impossible to Jack that they can ever hope to scale these sheer, endless walls of rock. When suddenly, from ahead...
I say, look what we have here.
What? Oh, a trail.
It appears so. I suspect it'll take us right to the marmalade marker.
What do you expect to find there?
Who knows? Come on, lively now.
They continue along the narrow trail. After several hours...
Oh, we aren't anywhere near the top.
So we aren't.
And the sun's beginning to set.
So it is.
I thought... What? Where are you pointing? Over there? My God, what is that thing?
The bright red rays of the setting sun strikes the cold gray side of the mountain range, and suddenly, there before them is a gigantic face. So breathtaking, so awesome is this face, that minutes pass before either adventurer can even begin to think again. Finally, one speaks.
It's a bully, all right.
The land of the stone-faced gods. This is the place.
It is said these mountains have as many such faces carved into their sides, like Mount Rushmore. Well, shall we continue?
It seems almost alive.
We must hurry. The sun will set soon.
The two move on until they are standing next to the ear of this giant stone god.
I'd hoped there was an entrance here. Apparently not.
Wait, that music. It's coming from somewhere here.
Right you are. Let's try the lips.
Easy. They look slippery.
They appear chapped by the weather. A foothold is possible.
Who could have carved such a monstrous face?
Shh. Listen. Hear that?
The music is coming out of the face.
True, but... I say, if it's not too unpleasant a thought... Could you climb up there and take a peek inside that nostril?
Well, all right. Help me up under the mustache.
Righto.
There. Aha.
You found the source?
No. The music is definitely not coming from inside the nose. Now, somewhere the... Wait. Our feet.
I say, it's coming from the lips we're standing on.
There's a space here between the lips.
Could you take a peek inside and see if you can see anything?
My head and shoulders fit in easily. I believe it's a tunnel that... Hey! I'm being sucked in!
Help! Quick, grab the outer rim of the lips!
It's sucking me in! I can't hold!
Righto! There, I've got your feet! Whoop! By Jove, it's pulling me in too! I say! Ah!
Oh, Giles, are you all right?
Quite.
I think we were sucked right through the mountain.
Of course.
It was a tunnel.
Yes. Oh, the hidden entrance to the valley. Quite clever.
Well, where do we go from here?
Down the mountain into the valley, I suppose.
It's getting a little dark, though, wouldn't you say?
No problem at all.
The two adventurers follow the narrow trail that winds down the mountainside.
No, it's odd. As the valley becomes darker, it becomes transparent almost. The strangest light coming from down there.
Speaking of strange lights, I believe ahead there stands a flame of some sort. In your light.
Hmm? Why, it's the Madonna Vampira.
Why, Mr. Flanders, I'm surprised that you recognized me. This time.
Well, seeing is believing.
My, what a wonderful cliché.
How did you get here?
What's a bad girl like me doing in a holy place like this?
No, that's not what I mean.
Then precisely what did you mean when you raised your oar and brought it down ever so gently upon my...
I say, old chap and chapess, you can continue this later. Right now we've
I
got...
I thought you were dead.
Well, you might have killed me.
I don't mean last night, I mean before, when we were in the...
Come! You two can blather while we're walking. Come on, step by me.
Back what in the land of I the was? Juice, a demon come to haunt you?
What? Who knows what the hell's around here? I swear to God, I thought you were dead back there in the land of the Lotus Jukebox. Your body was laid out, cold, stiff. I mean, what were you doing there in the first place? And then I arrived back at Inverness and you were gone. So I thought you must have been dead. Well, say something.
Oh, I hate you.
What? Shh. I believe you need an interpreter. What the good Mademoiselle Vampire said was, she comes from the land of the Lotus Jukebox, and that her body laid in rest while she visited Inverness. When she knew you would visit the Lotus Land, she left Inverness for the last time and returned to re-inhabit her Lotus body.
But why was...
However, her timing was slightly off. And you returned from the Lotus Land while she was right in the midst of the voyage back to her kingdom.
No kidding.
You think that's funny?
You know, Inverness has more crackpots and blunders than anyone...
Well, we'll see how funny...
No, rock throwing is strictly not allowed.
Hey, wait a minute, that rock. Look, it's glowing like phosphorus.
Hold it still a moment, my dear. Isn't the rock. It's the dirt upon the rock. It emits a shimmering white glow. Very odd.
Are you through examining this specimen?
Quite.
Good. Take this, Jack Flanders!
Yikes.
And this!
Huh? What?
Oh. The whole valley. It's glowing. And listen.
I say, that is lovely.
And look, over there, to the east.
What is that?
And there, off in the distance, is a breathtaking sight. A tall, far-out, fantastic palace. No, it's a temple. Immersed within that strange light, and somehow almost transparent and shimmering, as though floating upon a rippling pool of liquid silver.
So, there it is.
I say that is a pleasant sight.
I find it hard to keep in focus.
The light, of course. Come.
The trio continues on. Eventually, they come upon a path. It broadens into a road. And soon they stand at the entrance to the temple.
Wow. These immense pillars, these walls, they vibrate with a frequency that, at moments, it's almost transparent.
Huh. Quite so. A remarkable piece of architecture. You know, I believe it's a living and breathing thought form.
Well, gentlemen, are we going to enter?
Of course. Come on.
Wow.
hearing the source of the sound. The great hall is most likely this way.
Jack, will you return to my native Lotus Land and stay with me?
Huh? Gosh, I don't know. Well, I guess so.
Oh, good.
Must be an incredible jukebox to put out a sound like that.
Ah.
There.
Look! Over there! The jukebox! That's it!
Guru Devo Mahisha. Guru Sakshat Param Brahma Tasmai Shri Guru Vinama. Ya Devi Sarvabhutishu Mayate Sadhita Namastase 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 Namo Namah Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Janrupena samsthitau Namastasye, namastasye Namastasye, namo namah.
I say, I think we found it.
That's the oddest looking jukebox I've ever seen.
It's like pure light. Yet it's not glaring, but soothing.
If I'm not mistaken, this jukebox has been carved out of one immense, solid piece of clear jade. Most astounding. A rare model.
I don't understand the names of these selections.
What is it? All the great hits of the universe?
It appears not to be names, but symbols that designate the vibrational rate of the selection. Ingenious.
So you can tell in advance how the piece will affect you.
Yes, of course. There's the place to insert coins.
Yeah. Well, I happen to have a couple of bags of nickels on me.
But how do you know what to select?
Well, who knows?
Quite.
Nothing.
For while they stood, listening to nothing, something was happening.
A thousand arms and hands.
Even Mr. Wurlitzer's wildest fantasies could not equal this instrument.
In the palm of each hand,
there suddenly sprang from the body of this incredible jukebox
an eye appeared.
A thousand arms and hands,
and looked at him,
bursting out like an aura of dazzling rays.
Jack's
breath and heart seemed to stop.
In the palm of each hand, an eye appeared
and looked at him.
His head burst into innumerable heads.
The whole jukebox became an all-penetrating eye of wisdom,
looking down upon the suffering in this world of ours. And the tears.
And Jack became filled with such profound compassion that in a sudden overwhelming desire to help beings toward liberation, his head burst into innumerable heads.
And the arms of the jukebox.
And the tears streamed down from his eyes.
And the hands opened and closed.
And the arms of the jukebox moved slowly.
And the eye
and the hands opened and closed. And the eye in the palm of each hand watched him.
Watched him.
And Jack understood.
Govinda
After a long while, Jack, Lord Jowls, and the Madam Vampira turn as though one and walk from the room and return outside the temple. They stop, touch each other, look into each other's eyes for a long time, and even though they know that no words are necessary, still they speak.
Before, I had wished that you, Jack, would return with me to my lotus land. Now I understand. Goodbye.
And she turns and walks away.
So it did exist, eh? The Bodhisattva jukebox. Yes, of course, of course. Of course.
And he slowly walks away into the night.
To recognize oneself in others.
And he too walks away, knowing he'll build a new sailing craft, and that near the great stone face he'll find the sail with the mandala, and then catching the wind he'll return alone to the fourth tower of Inverness.